Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? He loves you.
Yours truly, Pastor C. We are in the Sanctuary Studio in Forestville, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I believe I have on the line with me this evening my big sister, Sheila G. Sheila G, on the line with us tonight?
Yes, sir, I am.
Praise God. And my good friend and mentor, Dr. G, are you on the line with us tonight?
Yes, sir, we're here.
Praise God. Good to be back on the line. We thank God for another Thursday night where we can get together and we can study the Word of God. So we're going to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow, God, and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your Word. And Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we will be able to study to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your Word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others. And as always, God, we pray that this will be done to your glory. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Sheila G, we were in a nice, sunny 78, almost 80 degrees on Tuesday, on Wednesday. And then today we're back in the 30s, so we got a little whiplash from 40 degrees hotter to 40 degrees cooler today, and we always got to be ready for those changes that come so fast, and it is amazing how things change so fast. And I was looking at the weather, and I was looking at the situation in Europe where things changed so fast, where we went from peace to war, and just how fast things change. And it reminded me of when we were with our dad in Germany, in the area in Europe where they're not too far from where they're experiencing war. And how he would have to be ready on a dime's notice in case, it was the Soviet Union at that time, that if they would cross over the East German, that they would have to go to war. And you know, we visited Berlin, and we went to Checkpoint Charlie, where it was division between East Germany, West Germany. And all of that that was put in place, and he was a battalion commander, part of NATO at that time. And just how you had to be prepared because things change. And you go from one extreme to another, just like that. And that's what we saw with the weather. That's what we saw with the world peace or the world order, that it can change just like that. And the thing is to be prepared, be ready. And he was always prepared. Matter of fact, I was looking at his helmet. It's sitting on my Archer Benzer in the dining room this week. Being, that was something that he'd always had to be prepared with his physical armor. And, you know, with the weather, we always talk about you got to be prepared for the weather. You got to be prepared, for the physical challenges, but also you had to be prepared spiritually. And so, whether it's the weather, whether it's a physical war, that if you are in tune with God and you have the Spirit of God, you can be prepared with the Word and with your faith. And we talked about fellowship last week, and with the fellowship of the faithful few of the saints, that whether it's the change of weather, whether it's the change in a peace or war situation, whatever it is, that you'll be prepared and you won't end up in a panic, but you'll realize that God will give you the strength. And you were talking about it last week about the fear, that you don't have to live in a spirit of fear, but you can have a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind, that no matter what the situation, whether it's a weather thing, whether it's a physical thing, whether it's a spiritual thing, that you can rely on God. Sheila G.
Amen. When you were talking about the ready thing, there was a message that I heard from a preacher, and one of the things that she said that I keep in mind, it says, she said, be ready or stay ready so you don't have to get ready. So if you be ready and you stay ready, when the storms come, you don't have to try to get ready because you're already be ready. And she was saying the way you do that is through prayer, your relationship with Christ, studying God's word, so that when the storms come, you're ready to handle it and take care of it. And as you're talking about the situation where Russia declared war on Ukraine, months ago they were telling them this was going to happen, this is a possibility to happen. Well, they didn't stay ready because you saw how they were trying to run to the bank. They were trying to go to the store. They were trying to go get out of the city. But at that point, they weren't ready. I guess they just thought that wasn't going to happen. So now it's chaos trying to find shelter and everything. And all of that plays a part, that we have to be ready in Christ so that whatever comes our way, we have the ammunition to fight back, and we're not trying to struggle and make things happen while it's all happening to us.
Amen, amen. Dr. G is a pastor. You always want congregation to stay ready and stay prayed up, stay in the Word, because Jesus, and we talked about this last week, Jesus, he never promised that the road would be easy, but he promised that he would be with us. And so when you're equipped with that Word and equipped with your faith, when the storms of life come, and Lord knows they're coming, that you can, like Sheila G was saying, stay ready. But it's something that too many times people aren't ready. And when the storms of life come, they going through trying to get ready. Dr. G.
Well, you're right. And, that's one of the things that we, especially during this pandemic, we've been preaching the folk and trying to teach them that, you've got to take this time to really draw closer to the Lord. Because at the beginning of the pandemic, we had no idea how bad it was going to be, how long it was going to be. So that was one of the things that we were preaching and trying to teach folk, be ye also ready.
Amen, amen. And as Paul, here we go to the 20th chapter of Acts, as Paul is getting ready to wind down his earthly ministry and trying to make it to Rome, getting ready to go through some challenges with the church and people as he's passing through, it shows the life of a committed Christian, that as things come up, whether it's life or death situations, whether it's persecution, whatever it is, scandalized, that he stayed prayed up and he continued to encourage folk even in the midst of his going through, because he understood that at any time that things could change, and that he wanted the people around him to be prepared. And we referenced Dr. King, Martin Luther King Jr., on last week about how he was prepared, whether they were beaten, whether they were locked up or mistreated, that he was always encouraging someone and always prepared for the worst, you know, hope for the best, prepare for the worst, and right. And to prepare people that even when he's not there, that they could continue on. And I think a lot of times, Sheila G., people get caught up in selfishness. And, uh-huh. and if we keep it real, they're not looking at the bigger or the greater picture, but they're just looking at, you know, what's in it for me. I can't do this. I'm not doing this. And the ministry is limited because, or their lives as ministers, their lives are minimized because they're not looking at the broader picture. And so you have to look at a broader picture of God in ministry and in your life, that it's okay to be concerned about yourself, but you also have to understand that we don't live in this world by ourselves, and we have to be able to show love one toward another so that we can, you know, exhibit the characteristics of God. And so I was mm-hmm. sharing with someone earlier today in work. I said, well, people that just want to kill each other and brutalize each other, that they're thinking about themselves. And he's talking about the war situation. I said, if they had love one for another, they wouldn't be killing their neighbor. You know,
right.
You talk about, you know, white on black crime and black on black crime and, you know, European on European crime and, you know, Russia on Ukraine, you know, crime. And it's like, it's about selfishness. It's like, I don't agree with you. You don't agree with me. So, you know, I'm going to kill you or you're going to kill me. And it's like, really? It's like, we don't love peace enough. We don't like peace. We all love, you know, the same thing as humans. But if you don't look like me or you don't do it a certain way, then you're my enemy. And so this is the love that Jesus taught. This is the love that Jesus demonstrated. And this is what he taught his disciples. And this is what Paul is teaching his disciples as he's coming around the last part of his earthly ministry, to show people how to love, show people how to carry themselves and demonstrate their faithfulness in God and overcome the challenges of life. And when you look at this story, and I think I said last week, it's sort of like a swan song or a melancholy that Paul's coming to the end of his ministry. But even in the end of his ministry, we saw that he's encouraging people, he's teaching people, he's showing people how to deal with adversity. And I think that's what we need as church, as a body in Christ, that when Dr. G said, when the pandemic comes, when changes come, when things go upside down and sideways, the church should be the example of how to deal with these things, even in the midst of adversity, even in the midst of challenges, even when you know things are not looking good, where there's a report of sickness, there's a report of death, there's a report of all kinds of things that are going on, that people just don't lose their mind and panic. And you have this faithful group of faithful people that they'll know they can go to the Lord in prayer, because they know if God can't handle it, it can't be handled. but because you have relationship and history with God, you know that God can handle this situation. So it ain't no sense of situation. So it ain't no sense of me getting upset and been out of shape and acting like I don't know God, because if God can't handle it, it can't be handled. So I'm going to lean and depend on God and watch him work it out. Sheila G.
Amen. And last 2 weeks, a couple of weeks, you and I have seen that, as well as in New Birth, we've seen it where there's been death, sickness, illness, where people could have been down. It could have been the other way. They could have been sad about it. You know, the situation with our brother, that he was had a serious emergency. emergency where he could have died, but because his wife let everybody know, we let the civil. The first thing we all was like, we're praying for healing. We weren't doubting Debbie, down in the mouth, depressed. It was like, okay, we're going to lift up the Lord. Whatever God's will is, what do you need? We're here. Call us. We support you. And the same thing happened in our church where the mother of our church passed, the deacon of our church passed. So they were hurting people. But what we did was we rallied around each other. And then we had some people in church that went through sickness. And we that fellowship, that encouragement, that, you know, if you need me, let me send you a song, let me send you a word, that's what the church is supposed to do. So that we can hold on and lift up and carry each other when we're down and out instead of pulling each other down. As he say, we want you to be, oh, my goodness, this happened, oh, and then make the person feel worse. But we got that prayer circle going around, and not only in our family, but also what I saw it in our church, where it just lifted everybody up to go on. So as you did on your job today, those of us that went through that now,
I think we lost her. We can get her back in a second. But, yeah, she was continuing to talk about the challenges of the week. And when you live in this world, you're gonna have challenges week to week. And when you have those challenges week to week, you have to be prayed up. You have to make sure the people, the circle or fellowship that you're in is staying prayed up. And when you have that and these challenges come, you're able to endure. You're able to make it through. You're able to finish the course. And that's what's needed. I think I got it back now. All right. Sheila G, you back?
Yeah, the devil's busy messing with the phone again tonight. So, like I said, I was just talking about how in that situation with our brother as well as situations in our church, how we encourage one another instead of pulling each other down, immediately went into prayer, immediately prayed one for the other, immediately said, we're here for you. And through that, it encouraged them so that they in turn can encourage and draw others to Christ. And that's how we're supposed to be.
Amen, amen. And so we see Paul doing this, and you know, a lot of times you go from one thing to another. I know this week gone from celebrating somebody's wedding to, you know, tomorrow we'll be celebrating somebody's life and their death. It's like and you have all ranges of ministry. It's like just like the weather, it'll change from 40 degrees one way to 40 degrees another way. So all in that one week, you're doing a funeral, you're doing a wedding. You're praying for folk that are sick. You're calling folk that have loved ones that are sick, and you know it's a constant thing of fellowship with each other and ministering for each other. Because as sure as we're on this line today and we're talking, someone in our family is going to, or someone in your family is going to experience something, and so you're going to need to draw on the fellowship and the strength of the Lord. So that's why it's constant to have this. It's good to have a constant fellowship. So as we look at chapter 20, Paul talks about in verse 1, it says, I'm reading for the NIV, Acts chapter 20. It says, when the uproar had ended, Paul sent four disciples, and after encouraging them, said goodbye and set out for Macedonia. He traveled through the area, speaking many words of encouragement to the people, and finally arrived in Greece, where he stayed 3 months because some Jews had plotted against him just as he was about to sail for Syria. He decided to go back through Macedonia. And on last week, we were talking about for every level, there's another devil and how, you know, there's always going to be resistance. There's always going to be an antichrist spirit, a spirit of antichrist that will come against your ministry and life that you have to be prepared to understand it. This is how it is. And, you know, the road's not always going to be smooth, but if you're prepared through prayer, through fellowship, through strengthening your faith, that you can make it through. And so if we look at verse 4, he said he was accompanied by Sopater, son of Pyrrhus, and Berea, Articus, and Secundus, and from Thessalonica, Gaius from Derbe, Timothy also, and Tychicus, and Trophimus from province of Asia. And so this was the group of the faithful few, that were in the church, and they traveled together, they fellowshiped together, and they encouraged each other because they knew that there were going to be challenging times. And, you know, we look at this thing in Europe, you know, between Russia and Ukraine, and, you know, there's going to be a faithful few. I've seen some clips of news reports where people of faith in the Christian faith in the midst of war and family members being killed and all the things that go along with this thing that's going on with Russia and Ukraine. And you have people turning to the Lord. You have them going to church. You have them praying. You have them down on their knees. And they're encouraging each other. And so we're none exempt. Nobody's exempt from any of these things because there's evil in this world. There's a spirit of Antichrist in this world. Right. And so you have to stay rooted and grounded in your faith. And you know, I was praying the first night, I was praying for peace for that country and that region, and praying that God would hold the reins and that he would intervene according to his will. And then we're looking at this word and, you know, it's places in Syria and modern day Syria, modern day Macedonia and Turkey and all these places. You know, this is the first century church, and they had trouble and they had war there. And in the 21st century, in the 21st century, we have the same thing. The same areas are roiled with war and unrest and people just killing and brutalizing each other. And so you see these empires, they rise and they fall. But the only thing that comes out of it is people realize, you know, killing each other is not going to solve it. It's better for us to get along. It's better for us to act in love. And what happens is the young people come in and say, why are these people, you know, killing each other? I have no beef with this person. I have no beef with this person. What is wrong with these old leaders? And they're teaching the young people to hate each other. And it's like, you know, black and white. Well, the answer is love. And to love your neighbor as yourself is one of the greatest commandments that Jesus said. And so you have to understand there's truly nothing new under the sun. And you have to understand that there's going to be these challenges, but if you stay rooted and grounded in God, you stay with people that are like-minded spirit and faith, that you can get through these things and you can prepare, sort of like praying people, your church, our church, we have prayer service where people pray for people, intercede on behalf of people, send prayers in advance. And so these folks were understanding the challenges of ministry. And so when, In verse 5 of this chapter, it says, these men went on ahead and waited for us at Troas. So they went and prepared the way. They went and understood the necessary things of challenges in the church. And in verse 6, it said, but we sailed from Philippi after the festival of unleavened bread, and 5 days later joined the others at Troas, where we stayed 7 days. So even in the midst of the challenges, they stayed the course. They continued ministry. And that's what I say about the faithful view of the church. There's people going to show up. They're going to do what they need to do, whatever they need to prepare for, whatever the prayer service, the Bible study, the Sunday school, whatever it is, they're going to prepare. They're going to be faithful. They're going to be committed. And whatever needs to be done, they're going to do it. And that's the example that's been set generation after generation. That even in the midst of the changes, the challenges, the ups and the downs, that you can see that they're relying on God, they're keeping their faith in God to allow the situation to be taken care of by God, and knowing that his will be done gives them that strength even when nobody else is pulling, when everybody else is going one way, when everybody else is going the opposite way, that they can continue to follow God. And I call them the faithful few that know how to do what needs to be done in spite of what's going on. And there's some people, and Dr. G, I'm sure you can attest to that. I know that on a Sunday or a Thursday or or whatever the prayer service is on a Wednesday or Tuesday, that you can count on people. I said they check the box. It's like there's a list of things that need to be done, and you don't have to worry about this many boxes because you know there's going to be a faithful few that's going to check those boxes. So in ministry, you're not overwhelmed because you know that people, there's people, godly people in place that are going to check these boxes. And so if there's 100 boxes needs to check and you can't check 100, you got some folks that's going to check at least 50, and you're saying, thank you, Jesus, for the faithful few that's going to check these 50. So now I only got 50 more to check, but they understand the body of Christ has been given so that we can carry out things in ministry and be a group of fellowship together to know that my role is important and your role is important, but no one's role is more important than the other. Help me out, Dr. G.
Well, you're right. And, you know, with what we have to contend with, and the thing is that especially with newborn babies that are coming in, you know, it's a learning session, and they've got to learn how not to lean on their own, but to trust in God. And the key that we found is that if you stay in that word, since we've been on Zoom and out of the building, you know, our Sunday school has really prospered and it's grown. And I mean, it's still hard to get people to talk, but at least they're calling in. You can almost, count those that are going to call in for Sunday school. And that lets you know that, you know, we're doing something right. Because, you know, life is going to be filled with its ups and downs. You're going to have challenges of every kind. But the thing is, you know, we're instructed to continue to walk the course, stay the course, keep our faith, look to the hills from which cometh our help, knowing that that help comes from the Lord. And when you get to the point where you believe that, you're not worried about what other people may or may not do. But, you know, we continue to reach out, to encourage, we pray for folk. Now, you're going to always have those that are just hitting and missing. And in a way, I'm glad the pandemic did hit because it separated the real ones from the false ones. So you take the faithful few and you go ahead and do what you have to do. And that was something that I had to learn, and the Lord showed me in a positive manner. Don't worry about the rest of them. You know, he said, I'll deal with them. But you take those that are serious and continue to preach and teach and let the Spirit convict and guide you.
Amen. Amen. So now they're going through Macedonia and Greece ministry, and they get to a place where they're settling in and they're teaching the word. And this next section, interesting, verses 7 through 12, it talks about ministry, and then there was a tragedy that happened in the midst of ministry, but they didn't get bent out of shape. They didn't lose it, but they dealt with it as it came, and God's will was done, and it turned out positive. And I say that because every day there's a challenge that comes up, but people don't get bent out of shape. They pray and they stay rooted and grounded, and God's will is done. But you gotta have faith, and you gotta have fellowship, and you gotta have a relationship with God, and deal with people of faith for these things to turn out that way. And Sheila G, you were talking about, you know, ministry with our brother where he was in ICU. One day he was fine, and next day he's in ICU on a breathing tube.
Yep.
and you know, you're like, okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer.
Yep.
And God's going to take care of this thing and heal his body. He's home. He's off the breathing tube. Yep. He's home. And when we look at these next five verses, we'll see that there was a situation where they were doing ministry, and a person fell out of a window, fell out dead, but Paul was able to go and to minister to that person. and that person was alive, was brought back to life and health, and the people were comforted. And you know, anytime we see a person that is almost in death, almost in a situation where we're touch and go, and God brings them back, that comforts us, or it encourages us in the faith. Now, every time it's not going to be a miracle like what Paul is going to experience, the church is going to experience. But we have people that have been brought back. We ministered to one of our members that they were brought back 6 times.
Wow.
You know, God is rehabilitating her and bringing her back to health. But she had to be resuscitated 6 times, and here she is. She ministers every Sunday, and it's just a blessing to know that God is still in the miracle working business. So let's look at this situation, verses 7-12. In verse 7, it says, on the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. And again, Sheila J., it's like, you know, we're continuing in ministry. We're continuing to do the things. Even though we have challenges, we're continuing to do the things of God. They're breaking bread. They're observing. They're teaching about Jesus. They're teaching about communion. They're continuing in faith and not getting sidetracked, not losing sight of what their ministry is or their mission is. Because as Paul spoke to the people, because he intended to leave the next day, he kept on talking until midnight. So in other words, Paul was keeping an all-nighter because he was getting ready to leave. He was getting ready to go to another place in ministry. And so, you know, he was ministering at night. He was ministering for a while. And because he was ministering for a while, he got late. And when you're ministering, sometimes you have to be conscious of people's time. But there's other times where the Spirit will allow you to continue to minister and as a Spirit led. And sometimes we have programs, but we have to let the Holy Spirit run the church worship service. A lot of times people say, well, the program says this. But what about the Holy Spirit? Is the Holy Spirit on the program? Was it his program? And so Paul was preaching for a little while. And you know, a lot of times, Dr. D, if you preach 15 minutes, folks ready to hang you. you have to be guided by the Spirit, but there are sometimes when preachers are running their mouth too long, so it can go work both ways. So, but Paul was preaching, and he kept talking until midnight. And in verse 8, it says there were many lamps in the upstairs room where we were meeting. So they were meeting, and it was night, and kept on going. And in verse 9, it says, seated in a window was a young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep. In other words, Paul was talking and this fellow was tired. And I've seen folk fall asleep in church. Sometimes I tell them, don't fall asleep because you might fall like Eutychus. I had to come resuscitate you. And hit your head on a pew or something. And he said, when he was sound asleep, he fell to the ground from the third story, oh my gosh, and was picked up dead. And it's like, wow, in the middle of worship, you got somebody falling out and somebody dying. I've seen emergencies in church where people are, And the church just kept on going. It's like somebody fell, the ambulance was called, had to get wheeled out. But service kept on going. We were like, you know, okay, take care of them. We prayed for them, immediately prayed for them, put hands on them, and the service kept on going. It was like it was all in the Spirit. And people weren't panicking. People were continuing to do ministry even in the midst of a great challenge, and you have to be there to experience it. But I don't know if people have ever experienced this in the midst of ministry, that someone actually fell out a window and died. I've seen people run out of the church, almost get by hit by a car, but I've never seen this. But in the midst of this, God still blessed them to be able to stay focused, to stay encouraged in the word. Sheila G, help me out.
Amen. And that's true. I think we've seen people get sick. I've never seen anybody just die, but I've seen people that have passed out and we've continued on, or we stopped and prayed for them, or we prayed for the situation. I remember years ago, there was someone, one of the deacon's brothers, passed out in the bathroom downstairs, but we eventually did pass away, but not in the church itself. But you're right, service kept going on while everybody else was getting him together. In fact, the service switched such that we started praying for him until he got out and praying for the families. So even in the midst of, like you said, when that challenge and when that trouble came, his name was Harry, we were still able to pray and keep it in the spirit, as opposed to completely panicking and not trusting in God.
Amen. You want to chime in on that, Dr. G? Talking about the long-winded preacher and folk falling asleep in church.
Yep. They had done it. And as a young minister, you know, you're sitting in the pulpit and you're trying to be respectful and, you know, your eyelids are heavy and look like some of these brothers, you know, they just go on and or just like they energize a bunny. And it'd be different if they're saying something or, you know, they're really preaching. But a lot of these folks are just, you know, their mouths are going, but they're really not giving any substance. And we do. We have to be conscious of the people that we're preaching to. We have to be aware. And, you know, I have seen where folks will fall asleep in a minute. And, you know, and, no, you're not. And, I mean, an older guy, and he would limp in because he had an accident years ago, and that was his M.O. He would fall asleep in church. And a few times I had to tell somebody wake Carl up. You know, we're not. And it got to the point that, you know, as a preacher and you're in the midst of preaching, you have to continue to do what the Lord guides you to do. And they may fall asleep, they may do other things, but I have never been aware of folks dying right in the midst. They're
definitely falling asleep.
Hey, amen. But this fella fell asleep and died. Utica. But look what happened. He said he fell from the third story, and this is in verse 9, the second part of verse 9. It says, fell to the ground from the third story and was picked up dead. None of he was dead. But in verse 10, it says, Paul went down, threw himself on the young man, and put his arms around him and said, don't be alarmed. He said, he alive. Say, well, wait a minute. This fellow was dead. Now he's alive, and that's why I shared with one of our members was dead. But they through the modern day tools of medicine, they were able to bring her back alive. She I don't know if they coded or whatever it was, but she was able to be brought back alive. And so when you see this in the Bible, people say, well, he was dead, he was alive, what happened? I don't know what Paul did, what God did supernaturally, just like people are brought back to life with medical means by God giving the science to be able to start someone's heart or through CPR or whatever it is, but people are able to come back alive with their physical body was able to be brought back to life through various means. And so here, through the miracle of God, this fellow who fell out of the window was able to be brought back alive. And then in verse 11, what did Paul do? He said, then he went upstairs again and broke bread and ate, talking until daylight. Oh my God, Dr. G. So anyway, he didn't get bent out of shape. He said, okay, fella, I'm preaching long. Fella went to sleep. He fell out the window. He was dead. Let me run down here, pick him up, resuscitate him, get him back up. Now I'm going back up here to break bread and preach again. And that's the life of ministry. Believe it or not, that's the life of ministry. Things are going to happen. Like I said, you're going to go to a wedding one day. The same day, you're going to hear about someone dies. Another day, you're going to hear about someone need to be baptized, or maybe dedication, or you're in the hospital, you're nursing home. All of these things in one day or 1 week. But the thing is, you can't get discouraged or led astray or lose focus because these things happen, because they're going to happen. And you have to be in the spirit, in the will of God, walking by faith in order for you to be with to deal with all these things. And just look at Paul. Paul preached. He was tired. He was getting ready to go somewhere else. Fella fell out the window, was dead. He just stopped, went downstairs, grabbed the fella, brought him back to life, went back upstairs, broke bread again, and kept preaching. Help me out, Dr. D.
Well, that was only by the power of the Holy Spirit. all honesty, I mean, when you get through preaching, you know, you're usually exhausted. And by the time Paul was doing all of this and then the guy died and he went over, laid himself over him, then he went back up, broke bread, and proceeded. That was nothing but the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Only the Holy Spirit can enable a person to continue on in that frame.
Amen. And that's what I tell people. I say, people say, well, Pastor, how do you do it? It's like, it's not me, it's the Holy Spirit.
I've seen him do that a few times where he's had a morning service, then for whatever reason, even if the second preacher couldn't come, he would step in and do the second service and then go visit someone to give mm-hmm. them communion. And I know that he had shared the story with me where was your mother had passed and the pastor asked you, and somehow, some way, he was still able to go and deliver the word, but that was only by his Holy Spirit, not
Amen.
His flesh. I've seen him do funerals like that for members that either came up against him or members that died unexpectedly, where he still was able to walk in the Spirit, deliver the word, and deliver it with power, even when he gave the eulogy for our mom, you know, as close, that was like his mm-hmm. mother, you know, as close mm-hmm. as he was to her. But the Lord gave him that word for such a time as this, and he was able to come out of the emotions of it and deliver the word from the to those of us that were there out of the Spirit. That's how you know that many are called, few are chosen, because you can only have that calling on your life to be able to come out
That's
of your
right.
flesh into the Holy Spirit like that.
Amen, amen. And that's what it takes, and I tell you, that's what it is the Holy Spirit, because you can't do this on your own. And so as believers, as following Christ, you know, we have to understand it's the Holy Spirit that gives us strength to be able to do this day in and day out. And in that last verse in this section, verse 12, it says, the people, after Paul ministered, the people took the young man home alive and were greatly what? Comforted. So again, the Spirit of God knew this was going to happen, had people in place, and the ultimate goal was to encourage the people and to see the Spirit of God move, that even in the midst of great trial, being tired, being challenged, that God got the glory and the people were edified and God got the glory. And we thank God that through our challenges, through our difficult times, God still has the ability, even in the most difficult situation, has the ability to encourage us, and ultimately he gets the glory. And so in the midst of your trial, always look around. Don't get down, but always look around and see how God's going to encourage us, teach us something, show us something, and then ultimately he's going to get the glory. So look around in those situations and say, well, God brought me to it. He's going to allow me to get through it. So that's where we're going to go to the phone lines and ask you, do you know that if God brings you through it, he can brings you to it, you can get through it. Now, if you go on your own, that's something different. But if it's in the will of God, if he brings you to it, he'll get you through it. Now if you, I'm going to stop meddling, Sheila G. Now, if you bring yourself to it,
right.
it's going to be some challenges. But if God brings you to it, he'll get you through it. So we're going to go to our first caller. Last four digits, 6309, 6309. Good evening.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening. Yes, I know and I believe if God brings you to it, he going to help you make sure you get through it. That with your faith and your trust and your belief in him, no matter what you have faith in you, you just go ahead because you know God is going to give you everything that you need to do what his will is for you to do. So I definitely Amen. Believe that he's going to always be with you. When you got to do something, you might say, oh, I don't know. No, you don't have to say none of that because this is God telling you what you want. He wants you to do. And he's going to give you the means, the words, or everything else that you need to go through it because he's going to get the glory. So, yes, I definitely believe in that. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your testimony, comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 3343. Good evening.
Good evening. Yes, I have my confidence in God on the way. I got to go and see about surgery tomorrow morning. I'm taking God with me on my knees and on my shoulder. I'm going all the way with God and whatever goes on and what happens. I'm going to have my faith in God when I lay down and close my eyes. Nobody knows but God. When I lay there, that's to be it. I have no faith until God told me to open my eyes up again and say, I got your eyes all open again. It's all over. If not, then we just have to leave and see what God has to say about it. It's his world and his body. I have nothing else to say about it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your testimony. This evening, we're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 1712. 1712. Good evening.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Yeah, I definitely believe in the quote and that statement. You know, having been around for a little while and having just actually coming through some adversity myself recently and having some good news that I shared with our my new birth family the other day. But you know, those words couldn't be more true, you know. But one thing I always tell people, you know, just taking that statement a bit further, that you know, God will bring us through it, but we got to be prepared and we have to do our part. You know, God is not going to just allow us to sit around and carry us through something. Sometimes we got to stay in it for a little while, and sometimes we got to grow through it, you know, and be different coming out on the other side. But you know, we have to do our part and show God that we're ready to be, you know, move through that situation, or ready to go beyond that storm or adversity or whatever trial and tribulation we have in life. So you know, the statement is very true, but us as Christians, we have to do our part. And you know, and God is watching, and a lot of times when we're faced with that adversity and we're moving through it, there's going to be ups and downs, and there are going to be times where we may not be moving through it as fast as we'd like, but we're still going to be moving nonetheless. So it's how are you when God is moving us through it? You know, we want to run through it and get out of it. God's like, no, we're going to stay here for a while. We're going to kind of put it on cruise control, and we're going to go at God's speed and not our speed. So it's one thing to be patient on God, but it's how are you waiting on God? Are you doing it with an attitude? Are you doing it being frustrated and being miserable to everybody else? So you say, you know what, while I'm going through this process, let me still be pleasant. Let me have some calm. Let me have some peace. Let me be of good joy and spirit. Look, let me try to help somebody else. Maybe I'm going through it, so what I need is to try to help somebody else or think of others instead of myself. So it's a lot that goes into it, but we got to just be prepared and take it serious because, as we all know, this Christian journey, this Christian walk isn't for everybody. Everybody's not going to make it to the finish line. It is a marathon more so ever than it's ever been a race. And, you know, it's going to be some tough times, and we're going to have many storms and many bouts that we're going to have to go through and be faced with. But each one has its own different time frame. Each one is going to demand something different from us each and every time. But the one constant remains the same. We can't do it by ourselves. We need God to help us. We need God to guide us. But we got to do our part. We can't just say, okay, God, make it happen. Get me through this. He's going to be like, well, what are you going to do? You know what I'm saying? He's going to be like, what's your part? How do I know you're serious? How do I know you're ready to get on the other side? So we have to make sure that we do our part as Christians to show God that we're ready to be moved through these storms, to show God that we've grown enough that now we're ready to level up and get to that next phase or that next level we need in our Christian walk. So, you know, God has definitely brought me through many storms. Some have lasted longer than others, but I had to be committed. Mm-hmm. You know, I had to have faith. I had to be of good courage, and I had to be humble. You know, I think sometimes as Christians, we have this ego and this pride and try to give this persona like we don't go through anything. And you know, we can talk about other people who may not be spiritually where we are, but it's like we used to be them. And frankly put, mm-hmm. some of us used to be worse than some of the other people. Let's keep it real. You know what I'm saying? So it's like we got to remember we used to be in some of those places and used to be in worse places than other people that may be looking up to us, that may be looking for that type of guidance. So, you know, definitely true, very, very true words. But just remember, you know, in this Christian life, we can't do it without God, but we also have a role in that equation. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 1741. 1741, good evening.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Yes, God will, he will bring us through. We have to trust God and truly believe that whatever he does for us is the best. God knows what we can do. Sometimes we might not have the faith or believe that we can do certain things, but God knows what we can do. And if we trust him enough and pray, and sometimes we just have to just admit, Lord, you know, I'm weak here, and I need some strength. I need your Holy Spirit to help me.
Yeah,
and God
yeah.
will take our hands. He will guide us and lead us. And God wants the best for us. He's not going to hurt us. He loves us. And when we begin to think about God the way he think about us, then even what we're going through, if it might be difficult for a time, God's going to bring us through. He's mm-hmm. going to do the impossible in our life. And sometimes, as like Brother Brian said, sometimes he let us stay there because it's a growth process.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And through that process, as we grow, we get closer to him. Our fellowship with him gets stronger. Our relationship with him gets stronger. We trust him more. We believe in his word more. And so when we begin to look at God in the light that I know you want the best for me and help me to give you my best, then God gonna see us through. He's going to give us the strength to do what we need to do for him. If it's for his glory, because he wants to be glorified through us.
Amen.
He wants us to be that light that shines in darkness. So he's going to see us through. But we have to believe that God wants the best for us.
Amen.
And nothing is impossible with him. And I was thinking about Paul here in the scripture because what God used in Paul and showing that he even had the power to bring life again.
Yeah.
He could use Paul for anything, not only for the preaching and the teaching, but he could use him in any capacity that he wanted to. If Paul had enough faith and truly he believed, he had the faith, and God used him for his glory. And it might have been somebody there that didn't really believe. We never know why God allows certain situations to happen. But one thing we do know, God got the glory out of this situation.
Yeah.
And I do believe that through miracles, God worked miracles. My sister decoded 3 times, and God brought her back. And so God worked miracles. He can do the impossible. And it was one of the things where even the doctors in the hospital, and the word had got around where the people were talking about, you the lady that God brought back. You the lady,
We
never know what God can use death to save a life. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He can use another person in the process of allowing them to pass, or even bring them back if he wants to save a life. We never know what the purpose is and what God's agenda is. All we just need to do is be available so that he can work and do what he needs to do through us, and amen, let him get the glory.
That's right.
Amen, amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last 4 digits, 0072. 0072, good evening. All right, listening in. We're going to go to that next caller. Last 4 digits, 8760. 8760, good evening. All right, keep listening in. We're going to go to our next call. Last 4 digits, 0266. 0266, good evening. All right, we're going to our next call. Last 4 digits, 7971. 7971, good evening.
Good evening, everyone. This is a good topic, and yes, God will bring you, if he brings you to it, he will get you through it. I am a living testimony. I was raised with a mom that God had, she had 10 children, and God, 11 children, and God knows, with 11 children, she had something on her hand, because there was always something going wrong with one of her children or some of the neighbor's children. And it's going back when we were talking about things happening in church, at church at New Hope, we were having Sunday school. And this little girl, the kids were on the bench, and children were going to be children. And all of a sudden, this child just dropped. And your mother got up. She said, everybody get back, let this child have some air. Cleared the bench, put the child on the bench, and you always have the more oil. The old folks, they lived with that oil in their pocket. She anointed that child. She prayed, and we prayed. But we were talking about the topic, do we believe? And the devil challenged us right there in that church, just to see how strong our belief was. And your mom started praying for this child. The child got up, start playing. Everybody looked at each other. What could we say? He proved his point.
God be the glory.
There was no doubt that God did it. I could tell you some things that in my life, almost lost a whole foot. Never went to the hospital. Got a scar on my arm like somebody cut it open. But I fell off the bed on the hardwood floor, and the bottle broke. You had glass bottles back in the day. My mama said the whole arm split wide open. I still got the arm, still got the scar, and my husband said when he met me, he said, I got a cutthroat here. He saw the cut on my arm. But it goes on to show you God is with us no matter whether we are sinners, whether we are Christians or believers or whatever. He said in his word he will never leave us nor forsake us.
Amen.
And it's so true. You all, you know I'm telling the truth. Your mom was had the same spirit as my mom had. Prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Prayer. And you didn't think nothing other than a prayer. Mm-hmm. Nobody had no man to go to the doctor. So what did you do? God be with you. God be for you. He's going to see you through it. He's going to see. I've seen it. I've experienced it. I've gotten sick in my church. Me, myself. It's for real. Went to Bible study. Frostbitten toes. I mean, couldn't get a shoe on my foot. And God turned a Bible study, just like we're having now, into mm-hmm. a healing service. Yeah. I was called out by the pastor. And he said, come on up and get your healing. And I walked up there, and my husband said, you better go on and get your healing. The next, and back in the day, I wore high-heeled shoes to work every day. Strutted up there, limped up there. And the next morning, what in the, my foot is as normal as it is now.
Hallelujah.
It's for real, church. It's for real. God is for real. Pastor, we sang it soon. In our soul.
Yes,
and I
yes.
can shout it everywhere I go.
Amen.
That I know that I know.
That's right.
God is the author. He's the finisher. He's the beginning. He's the end. In our lives, trust him. Believe him. Have the faith. That mustard seed faith we talk about all the
mm-hmm.
time.
Mm-hmm.
It's for real. You, Sheila, you, Anthony,
or whatever.
My pastor right now, you my little children right now.
Amen.
You are living testimonies of what
Amen.
God can do.
Amen.
Can't doubt him. And we definitely can't live without him.
That's
Lord
right.
have mercy. It's just so real that God keeps his promises to us. And we know it for a fact. We know this for a fact. We have seen it over and over and over again. And I thank God that I am in a circle of loving Christians that know the Lord. And old folks, you say, know how to get to the Lord and
mm-hmm.
get the prayers answered. I mean, serious things. Think the impossible. The impossible dream. We,
yeah.
I know me, I know Sheila, I know Pastor, have a testimony
Amen.
Of what God, if he brings it to you, God
yeah.
knows he will get you out of it.
That's
He'll
right.
get you through it. He
yes,
will get you through it. I was in a meeting with Elder Sweeney up in the mountains in Pennsylvania. We were fasting and praying. She was up teaching, and she just went down. She just went down. They thought I was going to be the one to go down because I had to take my medicine. I didn't take my medicine. I said, I believe God enough that he's going to see me through this. We went on the hill. It was so hot, but when we got up in the mountain, breeze coming through the window. Didn't need no air conditioning, but God. When Pastor Jesse fell on that floor with that oil, Lord have mercy. We heard her breathe. We heard her breathe. No doctors up there, no ambulance, nobody knew we were up there. Yes, God is real, Lord Jesus. Pastor Richardson, God got you. That's all I can tell you. And I believe, like you sneaked in on us Sunday. Or was it Sunday? Or one of them night days, he sneaked, he Pop Richardson sneaked in on us, and we didn't know he was on the line. But he came on through.
Mm-hmm.
It's something you can't describe it. And if you told somebody, half of them wouldn't believe it. But God, he's real. He's real in my soul. And I would spend the whole night and half the day and forever explaining the things out of these 81 years that God has done for me. Has done for me. It doesn't have to be a healing. This house I live in, we prayed for one house, and he gave us the biggest house there. That he gave us the biggest house that they were selling. We had no clue, Lord, that we would ever have a house like this. But look what God did.
Amen.
We kept the faith. And when you keep the faith, he keeps his promises. And sometimes his mercy and grace will bring you through. Mm-hmm. Feel sorry for you, because, you know, we do some dumb things sometimes. But he's a forgiving God. And he always leads you down that narrow path of righteousness. To not to let nothing get in between you and him. He's a jealous God. He loves us. Always remember, God loves you. God's with you. And if he be for you, who can be against you?
Amen.
My mama would say, not my words, but God's word. It's for real.
Okay.
God knows it's real in my soul. You all be good. Be good to yourself and love the Lord with all your heart.
Amen.
Because he loves you. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. Sheila G, that's going to do it for us tonight. If you have a final comment and close us out in prayer, pray for Pop Richardson.
Amen.
And all of our church members.
Amen. If he brings it to it, he'll get you through it. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you once again for another Bible study lesson, Lord. I pray that we will take your word and apply it to our lives, Lord. I pray a special prayer right now for the war that's over in Europe with Russia and Ukraine, that you will bring peace to their minds, give them strength, Lord, and let your will be done, to let everybody look to the hills from which cometh our help, knowing our help cometh from the Lord. In your precious name we do pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, that's going to do it for us tonight. Hopefully we'll see you again on next Thursday night. Good night.
Good night.